Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the 11 o'clock hour here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Coming up at 11:20, about 25 minutes from right now, we'll let you hear from Lloyd Pierce. Spoke with him yesterday out at the Hawks practice facility. Thanks again to the Hawks for having us out there. Fun time. Got to meet Cam Reddish, talk to him. And I was thinking about this last night, Randy. I even tweeted it. We had Cam Reddish on yesterday, the Hawks' first-round draft pick, one of their first-round draft picks, but the only one we're allowed to talk to.
Right.
So much to get into. First, he's in the NBA, what that moment was like for him, what he's going to bring to the team. You know what you and me did?
What's that?
The first thing we asked him about was Outkast.
Yeah, priorities.
I'm so happy that that's what we did.
Yeah, because we are the voice of the people.
We just be true to the true to who you are.
Yeah, we got to let you know, man, because I know a lot of people were concerned about
they were.
That. And so, you know, when in that case, we had to ask for the people. Do you really know who they are? And I believed his reasoning because it is, sometimes when you're in a situation where he's at, sometimes you do have a little brain fart.
He explained that. You're a little nervous when you're on TV. But he went on to say, he goes, yeah, I know some of their songs. And I was tempted. I didn't do it.
Because I'm not a jerk. Name your favorite.
But I was tempted. I was like, oh, which ones do you like the best?
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
That would have been real.
Because that would have been very rude.
Yeah, that would have been real rude.
But I was tempted to do that.
That would have been real rude.
Name some of your favorites then, if you know them so well. But as soon as he heard "Hey Ah" come on as the rejoin song,
he started laughing.
He knew exactly what it was. So Obviously he knows that one. I'm sure he does. But that's where we started. We touched a lot of other, got to a lot of other ground with Cam Reddish yesterday as well. If you want to hear the interview, that's available on 929thegame.com, as well as our conversation with Travis Schlenk. And we'll let you hear our conversation with Lloyd Pierce coming up at 11:20. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. Let's get into a couple different NFL stories, though. We'll get to some of this money that people either got back. Yeah, that people got back coming up in a couple minutes. Both stories I like very much. We'll start with a list, because it's list season, Randy.
Yes, it is.
Nothing's actually happening in the NFL right now, so it's list season. Gil Brandt put out his list of the top 10 most talented NFL rosters. Number one, Philadelphia Eagles. That's who the Falcons play week two, by the way.
Right.
Cam Reddish, big Philadelphia Eagles fan, too. Where do you think the Falcons might have fallen in the top 10 most talented rosters in the NFL list, if you would have had to have made it yourself?
Oh, I thought they would at least be number, if you look at some of these rosters, I mean, I don't think the Saints are more talented than the Falcons.
Either.
I don't think that. If you talk about go break down position by position, I don't think they're more talented than. I think the Chargers are a very talented football team. The Chiefs, I don't think if you go top to bottom, they're not more talented than the Falcons.
Well, certainly not with the offseason that
they
had.
They got that guy 15, so
yeah,
you put a lot on that.
You know, are the Patriots have Matt Ryan?
Are the Patriots more talented than the Falcons?
Tom Brady's pretty good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And they seem to get it together every single
year. Yeah, they find
year,
a way to get it done. So I look at it that way. Cowboys? I mean, really?
I guess.
That's secondary?
I guess. Yeah, I know. Are we talking about both sides of the ball?
Yeah,
or are we just talking about the offensive line and the wide receiver that they traded for last year?
Yeah, with that secondary?
Well, I guess they got a nice linebacking core. Cowboys do as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's either hit or miss. I mean, the Browns, yeah, they look good on paper.
They were not listed in the top 10.
Yeah.
Gil Brandt did not have them in his top 10.
Yeah, and a lot of that could be them coming off back from injury and all that. I mean, I don't get too bent out of shape by lists in the offseason because you got to have something to do. I mean, everybody going at Chris Sims' neck right now.
What did he do?
I mean, he got Tom Brady number 9 in his quarterback.
Oh,
but that's
just
him. That's what he does. So,
also, the first day that he was – no, it wasn't him. It was someone else. It was Josh McCown.
Yeah, Josh McCown.
Josh McCown's first day at ESPN.
Julian Edelman is one of the
top five receivers.
Everybody wanted his neck. Like, really? That's his list. You make you one. Now, do I think that Julian Edelman is a top five receiver? No.
No, because he's not.
Because he's not. But if that's what Josh thinks, hey, he knows better than any of us. He played quarterback in the league for a lot of teams.
Yeah. Does that mean that he knows better than everybody else?
Not.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I mean, that's his opinion,
yeah,
for sure.
Opinion.
And he gets paid to go on TV and give it, which is great. Speaking of health, and I think that that is, look, the Falcons, I think, were out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the season last year. As soon as they lost to Cleveland in, what was that, week 9, week 10?
Yeah, pretty much a wrap.
That was pretty much it. That was the last time that the national media thought about the Falcons, and that's a big part of the reason why we're talking
Nick
about
Chubb
all
Nick Chubb stole their soul.
When Nick Chubb went 92 yards, that was it.
Yeah, they stole their soul.
He took it straight from their chest during that game, in the middle of that game, at the end of that game, when he went 92 yards. But that's why these things are coming out preseason and people aren't talking about the Falcons, and that's fine. Doesn't matter. You go out there and play 3-4 weeks of this coming season and win your games, people are going to start talking about you again. It's pretty easy. Plus, you're on national TV in the second week of the season against the Eagles, who Gil Brandt says has the best roster in the NFL. Speaking of health, though, I was listening to some of what Dan Quinn had to say about Tack McKinley. He's been talking a lot about Tack McKinley.
Which is good, right?
I think so.
All right.
I think it's good that he's talking about Tack McKinley. And one of the things that he's been saying is, well, he's getting reps at linebacker, but he's also been talking about the lighter, faster, more explosive version of Tack, because he's actually been able to work out this offseason.
I think that's remember, a great thing.
I think we certainly haven't talked about it, and I imagine some people are overlooking it. His coming into his rookie year, he had that shoulder surgery, and he was unable to do a lot of what he would want to do. Last year, he had shoulder surgery on the other shoulder and was unable to have a normal offseason. Tack McKinley is having a healthy offseason for the first time in his NFL career. I think that explains why Dan Quinn and others inside the Falcons are talking about him looking better. That was the one thing I noticed when he was doing his I'm good thing.
He looked good. His body looked good.
He looked good.
Yeah.
He looked like a healthy football player, whereas times last year kind of looked frumpy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate. I've only had one offseason where I had to rehab and everything. It's a big deal to be able to go into an offseason and just the one thing you're doing is just resting. You know what I'm saying? You're not rehabbing. What I mean by that, when the season's over, you don't have to worry about scheduling a surgery or anything, or the possibility of how Cam did it 2 years ago and just waited all offseason instead of getting a surgery at the beginning of the year and being able to rehab that whole offseason. So this is a big year for Tack. And I said this a couple months ago. Are we giving him a pass? Because everybody's all over Vic. It's all Vic. Were we giving Tack a pass because our whole focus is on the fact that Vic is about to get $13 million and all that?
I think, in a way, yes.
Yeah.
I think Tack McKinley has gotten less anger than he probably otherwise would have gotten because, you know, as a fan base, you only have so much anger.
Yeah.
There's only so much anger to go around.
And the lightning bolt is number 44.
Well,
he's a lightning bolt.
Vic Beasley's got a lot. He's taken a lot of that heat on himself, rightfully so. Boy, other anger goes where? I mean, Desmond Trufant's shoulder and some anger.
Yes.
Matt Ryan just
always
has the requisite anger that quarterbacks get. They get paid that
Jake
kind of
Matthews.
Money. Vic Matthews has some anger. Like, there's just a Sark when he was here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the anger pie can only be split in so many ways. There was just a little tiny sliver left for Tack McKinley.
Yeah.
That's not going to be true if it doesn't work out this year.
Exactly.
That anger pie is going to be a bigger slice.
Because he's putting himself out there. You know, if I don't do this, I'm cutting my hair and this is, no, I mean, you know, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to care about this. Just go produce. You can keep your hair. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, people are they like Tack, you know, because the energy and, oh, look how real Tack is. Tack, be real on the field, bro. And the thing about it is you have to develop another move. Dan Quinn said it in one of his clips. He's great at the bull rush. Well, you need more than the bull rush, especially if you're a defensive end. Defensive tackles, I mean, not too many. It ain't a lot of space to do a lot of stuff in there unless you're one of the elite guys. But you're talking about a defensive end. Bro, you got to find something else to do. You can't just try to run over everybody because it don't work like that.
This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews, by the way. We'll let you hear from head coach Lloyd Pierce coming up in 15 minutes. Bruce Irvin, who was a member of the Falcons' defensive line for, what, half the year last year? And interestingly, when he was there, Vic Beasley's numbers got better. There's a breakdown of when Vic Beasley has that veteran presence around him, his numbers tend to go up. When he had Dwight Freeney there with him, working with Dwight Freeney, his numbers went up. Bruce Irvin was there, his numbers were up. Without those guys, his numbers are significantly down. Well, Bruce Irvin's gone. Bruce Irvin's with the Panthers now. One of the many defensive line additions that the Panthers made throughout the offseason, Gerald McCoy being the most obvious.
Yes.
Bruce Irvin said earlier this week that he thinks that this Panthers defensive line reminds him of the defensive line that he was on in Seattle when they won the Super Bowl and went back to the Super Bowl back in 2013 and 2014. It's pretty high praise, especially when you're thinking about a team that's in the division with the Atlanta Falcons.
They got some dudes now. I mean, let's not get into it. They got some dudes when you talk about K.K. Short, I mean, he's one of the best D tackles in football. He didn't play like it last year, but he's still a great player. You add a Gerald McCoy to that. You still got Dontari Poe there, who probably won't be the starter anymore. I mean, they got some guys. You draft Brian Burns, kid out of Florida State in the first round. I mean, they got some dudes up there. Let's not overlook that. They might have the deepest D-line in the division.
I think that they do.
Yeah.
In terms of depth, yes, for sure.
Maybe the best.
Maybe the best.
I mean, Quan Short can ball.
Because depth is great.
Yeah, he can ball.
But if you don't have good guys, we talked about this with Atlanta United a couple weeks ago. Yeah, okay, you got some depth, but when you've got the second and third string guys in there, it doesn't quite look the same.
No.
That's what we talked about with the Falcons all year last year. I mean, do you have depth? Like, is it? I mean, you have people. You have people that are on the field.
Right.
Does it actually qualify as depth that they're unable to do the job that they're supposed to do? No, you're right. The Panthers actually go eight deep on the defensive line. Do you think that they're the best? Let's rank them in the NFC South.
I go Panthers. I go Saints.
Saints.
Falcons. Bucks.
Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, who knows what Ndamukong Suh is going to give you. JPP, he's banged up right there. You don't know what Vita Vea is going to do. So I probably put the Falcons as the third one.
Okay.
Because Sheldon Rankins is my dude. I wanted him out of when he was at Louisville. That's that dude right there. But they did lose Tyler Davidson to the Falcons. But I just think overall the Panthers got the best.
Now
the outside rush is going to be the question for the Panthers. Now they got the whole interior depth.
Right.
But how quick can Brian Burns?
Yeah. What can Brian Burns do?
Because he's a stick man. So yeah. I mean, just running him. You know, and you don't know. You look down in New Orleans, Davenport. What is he going to be? You know, other than Carl, you know, one of Carl's jokes. They do got Cam.
Think we're laughing at Davenport anymore.
They do got Cam, who is probably the best if not the best, second, third best all around defensive end in football. So I mean, they got some dudes.
Cam, by the way, Jordan was advocating for the contract extension for Michael Thomas.
Yes.
You think that's going to help?
No, that never helps.
He goes on Twitter. Nobody's done what he's done in his first 3 years. More receptions? Who's had more in his first 3 years? His catch rate speaks for itself. Took to Twitter and made a video advocating for some money for his teammate.
Well, why don't you leave some on the table for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Advocate for it.
Take a team-friendly deal.
I'll advocate for my teammates all – hey, pay the man. I'm not going to give up some of mine so you can pay him.
It's a salary cap.
I'm not
going to
give up none of mine so you can get paid.
It would have been a lot easier to pay him $20 million, $22 million a year that he's asking for.
If you didn't take all that money.
If we would have had to give you $40 million guaranteed earlier this
exactly.
offseason.
Exactly.
Wow, that's not what I meant.
It all sounds good, and I'm happy you're always supposed to have your teammate back. I get all that. You going to give up something so they can get? No, I ain't give it. Now, will I restructure some stuff so I can still keep my money? And y'all get them? Yeah, because I know I'm going to get my money. But am I going to take less? Nah.
Perfect. Let's restructure right now. Give him some of your money, and then we don't have to. No, we're not doing that.
No. I'm
no,
not,
we're not
giving
interested
you none
in
of my
that.
Money to sign him. It's all right.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I wouldn't sign him, but don't worry about him and me separately.
Exactly.
That's not something that I want to talk about. So the quarterbacks coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Clyde Christensen, did an interview with Albert Breer of SportsIllustrated.com. Talking about Jameis Winston's interceptions. Says he's not worried about Jameis Winston's interceptions.
He better be.
Just so long as he stops throwing them.
He has a clean slate.
Doesn't that mean you're worried about him?
Yeah, he has a clean slate right now. New coaching staff, all that, you know. And now he's at a position where, you know, I'm a big fan of Bruce Arians. Think he's one of the best quarterback, you know, whisperers, if you want to, whatever you want to call him, in ball. If you look at the guys that he's coached.
Sure.
Jameis has got to figure out he can't win it all with one throw. And once he gets that in his mindset, which is so hard because he's always been that gunslinger, then the interceptions go down. But if he always has that mindset where I can always win it with this throw right here, because some of his interceptions, you're like, damn, Jameis, what the hell were you looking at? And it gets frustrating because you're like, dude, just take the sack. Take the sack.
Right, that's the thing.
You know what I'm saying? Just take the sack.
It's not
throw
the,
it away.
It's not the overthrow. It's not the tipped pass.
It's the ugly interception.
Maybe even trying to jam a pass in there that you shouldn't try to throw. It's the one when he's in trouble, and when you're in your fourth year in the NFL, and I guess it would be his fifth year this year.
You can't do that.
That you'd think by now you'd have that wherewithal of, all right, I'll just eat this one. I'll just take this. All right, this 8-yard loss is a lot worse than me, or a lot better than me trying to spin out of this thing. Because I guess when you've been able to do something for so long, and you've been so much bigger and stronger than everybody for so long.
You rely on it.
I mean, you remember at Florida State. You just couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah.
And he would shrug guys off, and he'd have three guys on his back and throw a touchdown pass because he was so much bigger and stronger than everybody. You can't get away with that in the NFL anymore. But again, I would think that you would have figured that out by now. there were times last year where, I mean, he's going down. He's falling down with somebody on his chest
and throws the ball
straight up in the air.
And you're like, why would you do that?
And if you're still doing it in year four, Bruce Arians can whisper all the sweet nothings into Jameis's ear that he wants. I mean, can you change at that point? You could change from year four to year five?
They're
like,
hoping.
That's possible?
That's what they're banking on right now. Because he's still going to throw interceptions. That's just the mentality that he has. He's a gunslinger who thinks he can make who feels like every throw is a good throw.
All right, some people got some money, and I'm happy that these people got this money. First and foremost, Judge approved a $24 million settlement for Rams PSL holders in St. Louis.
I love it.
Which is crazy that it had to go to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should have just been automatic. Oh, well, there's no team anymore, so why would you want a personal seat license for a stadium that doesn't have a team anymore?
Right.
But apparently they had to go to court to get their money back. And good for them. I'm glad that they got it right. Also happy for St. Louis fans that the Blues won the Stanley Cup,
yes.
So they had that to celebrate as well. But it seems... And I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how these things work. I know it's a contract that you enter into and all that.
Cronky, man. That's what
that guy's a jerk.
Yes,
man.
He is. He's a rich jerk. And his wife, she extra loaded. She more loaded than he is, I think.
I think that's right.
I think she is. I think she has more money than him. But, yeah, that's just him, dude. Everybody knew when Miss Georgia passed away and when he was able to get control of that team that he was moving the team to L.A.
Yes.
Everybody knew it. It was just only it was a matter of time before that happened.
What sucks is, even though the judge approved the settlement for the PSL, so if you're a seat holder in St. Louis, you get your money back now. If you're a taxpayer in St. Louis, you're still paying for that stadium.
Yes, you are.
I think for seven more years.
Yes, you are.
That sucks, man. What do they even do there now? Do they have concerts?
I'm sure they have, like, they would have, like, the motocross stuff in there.
Okay.
And the monster trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they have. I mean, because... I remember when I got there, it was such an old fat. It got that model of stadium that they played in. It got so old so fast. You know, teams were already, you know, even, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years into that building, and the teams were already building more state-of-the-art looking indoor facilities. So, I mean, it went out of style so fast, and they tried to get a new stadium. Wasn't going to happen. But we all knew Kroenke was out of there. He was out.
Yep, and he was, and now he's gone. And the stadium that they're building in Los Angeles – looks pretty cool.
That thing is awesome.
It's shaped like a Ram.
That thing
shaped like
cool.
The Rams logo.
Yeah, and the
looks
Chargers
cool.
have to play there.
And the Chargers have to play there. Is it too late? Can they just go back to San Diego?
They're not going back to San Diego.
You can't do it. Just
they're not going back to San Diego.
Yeah.
They need to.
They're in a bad situation.
They're in a
bad
situation.
They blew that situation badly.
No, Dean won. I mean, they kept going back. He should just left the stadium in Mission Valley. He wanted the downtown stadium so bad. Mission Valley is not bad. It's a perfect place for the stadium. She left it there.
Sean McVay is getting married, by the way.
Good for him.
Speaking of the Rams. Drew Brees got some money back as well. He was awarded $6 million in a diamond fraud lawsuit. Apparently, some diamonds that he bought were overvalued, like, drastically. And he paid $15 million for all this stuff. He got $6 million back in a lawsuit.
Was it some cubic zirconia or something?
I don't know.
Like, you know that little glass thing that you put on your eye? You couldn't tell?
I mean, I wouldn't know.
Oh.
You'd be able to look at a diamond and know the difference?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I can't. The whole, all the clarity part of it, but I can tell with the little thing if it's real or fake.
Yeah.
Come on, Drew. 15 mil. If I was spending 15 mil, I'm having.
I would get a second opinion.
Dude, I'm talking about third, fourth, fifth.
I do remember we got my wife's engagement ring at Solomon Brothers, and we worked with a guy who did a great job.
Uh-huh.
But when he started talking about look clarity and all this stuff, I was like, I don't know. You could be lying to me.
You could be.
You could be lying to me. No, I don't think he did.
Right.
Not the fine, upstanding people at Solomon Brothers.
Because we know they would never cheat us.
The text line, 404-741-0929, they would never do that. But he could have. I wouldn't know the difference. What am I going to put on that little spectacle thing and look at it? Oh, it looks good to me.
Yeah, dude.
Looks like a diamond to me.
Man, Luka Doncic, mama.
Yeah, I know.
Goodness.
Yeah, she's good looking. All right, we'll come back. Lloyd Pierce is going to join us. Well, did join us yesterday, but you may have missed it. A great conversation with the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. We'll let you hear it coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the Wendy Zone here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Had a great time yesterday out at the Hawks practice facility. Got to talk to Cam Reddish as he was introduced. They will eventually introduce the other guys, too, on July 7th, when DeAndre Hunter and Bruno Fernando are eligible to be introduced. We'll probably go back out there and maybe get to talk to those guys, too. Got to talk to Travis Schlenk yesterday also, and Lloyd Pierce.
Yes.
And,
casual Travis.
Casual Travis, just wheeling and dealing,
Trading
Kent Bazemore with khaki shorts on. And then Lloyd Pierce, who came in a very nice suit, we started out by asking him, I would imagine it's nice to have Cam Reddish in the building today.
there's so many different scenarios that happen on draft day. And, you know, the mock drafts are fun, but the draft is the only one that really matters. And we knew there was going to be a lot of movement. And he's a guy that I'm sure Travis talked about. We targeted for a long time. And now you try and figure out, well, how do we get him?
Exactly.
To get him at 10 is mind-blowing. You know, we had scenarios all over the place, and Travis does an unbelievable job of creating scenarios. What if we moved up? What if we moved back? Where, you know, what are our opportunities to get him? And even some of the other guys, how do we still position to get some other guys? You know, we stuck with 10, and, you know, the cards were dealt, and you see at pick number 8, you know, Jackson Hayes, and at pick number 9, you know, I don't even know if Rui was set. We were already cheering because right. We knew what was happening.
Right.
Where did you watch the draft?
We're just here. We're all here, and we have our war room or meeting room, and you know, it's you know, again, the Phoenix Minnesota trade just kind of threw us off,
right?
Because now, you know, we thought we knew what Phoenix was going to do, but we didn't know that was happening. And now we have no idea what Minnesota is going to do. And so I think that's the beauty of the draft. No matter what happens leading up to it, when that day occurs and you're on the clock and someone presents an offer or a situation, things change.
Coach, a lot of times whenever I hear you on our station or Travis, the phrase I always going to position versatility. And you got a guy like Cam that can do so many different things. And I asked him and I asked Travis also about where do you see, because you're the one that's got to put him in place to be successful. Where do you see him playing this year for you?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's tough because I know what Trey is capable of doing right now. And that's where we start, and I know exactly how to use Trey and John together, and that's where we start. And so, you know, we're gonna put Cam in some different situations and see if he can help there, and then we're gonna put him in some other situations, sprinkle it here, and see if he can grow there. And then at the end of the day, we'll know a little bit more. You know, there's so much made about his college year, and the collegiate and NBA games are so different. And so it doesn't bother me or it doesn't influence my decision one bit. I just know he's capable with the basketball in his hands. The shot is nice. The length and the size, the versatility is impressive. And so I just have to find a way to get him comfortable early. And then we'll talk about what else he's capable of doing.
And Coach, you just got a team last year with a whole bunch of rookies. Now, well, we have one rookie right now that we can talk about. But, I mean, you keep adding these young guys. And Travis always says it's about you, the way you communicate with young people. How is that in this day and age when you talk about the AAU, I got to get mine type, you know, athlete that they have today? How do you kind of make them get rid of that part of that game as far as and want to play team ball?
It's not as difficult. I think the maturation of each player is what's most important. If you mature and you help the growth and development of the person, we'll grow the player. And so if you just focus on the player, that's when you have those type of issues. You know, Coach, I need more shots. And Coach, I'm not worried about your shots, and you shouldn't either. You know, what do we want to do in 3 years? Do we want to be a special organization? Well, if you think this one game not getting enough shots is going to, you know, hold you back, then you got a lot coming. There's other factors that are going to hold you back. This one game where you could have had more shots isn't the case. So how do we grow the player to understand as a big picture, and every day that he comes to work, he's thinking about the big picture? That's what we do. That's why we have Ambassador Young come here and Hank Aaron come here, to give them a global perspective of what sports can do for you. I don't speak to our guys about one game stuff. If you come to me speaking about one game, you know, you probably aren't coming back speaking about one game, because we're going a different direction.
Head Coach Lloyd Pierce joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex. Cam Reddish had his press conference earlier today, had a chance to talk to him. If you missed the interview, you can check that out on the website, 929thegame.com. Coach, how long does it take to figure out kind of how to motivate different guys? Because not everybody's the same. Not everybody's motivated by the same stuff. How long do you have to be around someone before you kind of realize how to push their buttons?
Sarcasm helps. and I have a crew of coaches that are, you know, more sarcastic than I am. And you know what we do is we just poke at them, and we see what gets them smiling. We see what gets them laughing. We try and figure out what gets them talking. And you know, if I'm just lecturing, I'm not learning anything about our guys. And so I try and step back, and, you know, only time I talk is I'm just jabbing here and there, you know, competition, anything. And then we can go from there. You know, when I watch film, I show them bad stuff. You know, what happened on this play? Why you get your shot blocked? And you know, see how they respond. If they can't handle seeing themselves negatively, I know I can't go at them all the time. They have that's an issue. It's a real issue. You know, if a guy lights up every time he sees, okay, next time I play him, you know, I know he's got a competitive spirit. And so film helps, being able to utilize film. It helps show me, you know, how they respond to adversity or how they respond to seeing themselves.
When you say that right there, and this is, you know, this year, again, it was a fun year to watch these young players develop because they got better and better. And we knew that after the All-Star game, they were going to get more minutes. And we're talking about Trey and John and these guys. But you as a coach, what did you learn this year about yourself as far as what you need to continue to do to try and get to that level that you keep talking about?
Communication. The basketball is easy. The X's and O's are easy. The game planning and the preparation is easy. Communication with our players it's not hard. It's ongoing. And so having a pulse of, you know, if a guy isn't feeling good about his rotation or his minutes, you know, needing to get ahead of the story and not wait till the problem, you know, and that's a challenge and it's a skill in and of itself is I can see him, you know, guys coming back off an injury, you know, it's going to affect the other guy. I need to talk to the other guy and let him know, you know, I'm balance out the minutes a little bit, whoever's got it going, you know, those type of conversations are tough. And I missed out on a couple of them and I learned during the year, hey, I just got to go to the guy early. I can't wait till after the game. Well, I didn't know I was going to play less minutes. I'll just go to him earlier. Yeah, you're going to play less minutes.
Right.
And it really, you know, it sounds crazy, but it helps them. It helps them as opposed to during the course of the game. Like, why am I being taken out? I told you before the game, I'm playing you less. Now, you can be upset about it, but I was direct. And I have to do that all the time. And that's part of what I've learned this year.
Doesn't that sound like a life lesson?
Yes.
Like you could apply that just beyond maybe just being a basketball coach. Do that with your wife, maybe.
Just get on it.
Possibly. Hey, Coach, I know that you had mentioned before you jumped on with us here, your summer changed a little bit.
Yeah.
It was going to be maybe summer league at Vegas and maybe a little bit of relaxing. Now, obviously, you're going to be involved in USA basketball. How do you think that experience is going to impact who you are as a coach?
You know, I speak about growth and development for our players all the time, and that's where we are as an organization. You know, I never shy away from my growth and development either. There's no greater situation I can be in for growth and development. I just came back last night from San Antonio. We had our first coaches meeting for the Team USA, and to walk into breakfast with Coach Pop and Steve Kerr and Jay Wright and Jeff Van Gundy and Sean Ford and Ime Udoka. And we're just sitting in a film room from 8 to 4 watching 06 USA versus Greece and 08 USA versus Spain and dissecting the game and learning international rules that's different from the FIBA rules that are different from the NBA rules. My growth and development just skyrocketed. And that was just one day. I had about 40 days with these guys, and I look forward to it, and I'll take the most advantage of it.
Sounds good, man.
I mean, you thought
you're going to Japan and Australia.
We've got Australia and China and L.A. and Vegas this summer, and then I believe it's Vegas and San Francisco, and then China and Japan maybe next summer with the Olympics. So, you know, I think it's you know, what I hope to do is put in as much work as I can. And it's the same thing I ask our guys, you know, compromise and sacrifice is what we left the season with. I'm sacrificing a lot of time, personal time, to take on a very good opportunity. You know, I'm going to miss out on some of the development of our guys, but I trust my staff and I trust our players to come back with the same approach, whether it's me or anyone else. But I hope I come back as a better coach to help them as well during the course of the year.
The trust with the player thing, because we heard like probably a week or so after your season, and that Trey was already in here putting up J's and putting up shots and everything. Was that something that you talked to him as far as your exit meeting, or was that just all on his own like that?
Well, I think people have to understand that, you know, as an organization, this is our job.
Correct.
And Chelsea leads our performance and training staff. And they put together and devise an off-season strength and conditioning and physical development plan for our guys to get bigger and stronger, to understand their bodies. And so you know, she laid out the timeline of what was needed. You know, 3 weeks in May, 3 weeks in June, 3 weeks in August, 3 weeks in September, so that when we start training camp, they've committed and devoted the time that is necessary for them to, you know, we're going to ask Trey to get bigger. We're going to ask Kevin to get stronger. Well, you got to put in the work. And so now that they know there's a plan and it's laid out, you know, I think any player, they all want to be coached.
Yes.
And they all want to know why and what they're doing. Well, we gave them the why and we gave them the what. It's on them now to respond. And they all have. They all have been here.
One thing that I don't – maybe you can coach it. Maybe guys just have it. But Trey seems to have the desire to lead, the desire to be the guy that's the voice. And when he FaceTimes Cam Reddish on the night of the draft, when you see that, what does that make you think of?
I can go a lot of directions
sure.
on that. The desire to lead is learned, and it's something that we're still assisting all of our guys on what leadership is, because it comes in, and I've spoken to all of our guys, leadership comes in a variety of forms, by example, by communication, by sacrifice, being creative in your leadership. So we're trying to educate Trey, because he's a leader by example on the court, how to do it verbally and vocally with the guys as well. FaceTime thing is just different to me. That's just a modern day deal where I get on the phone and I got my face in his face and we're talking. So when I saw that, I just go a different direction. It's just the day and age of our guys. I don't FaceTime anybody.
You never FaceTimed anybody before?
I FaceTime my daughter, who's 10 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's
just
a good
because we're on the road a lot and I want to see what Maya's up to in her development, but that's kind of it.
Head coach Lloyd Pierce from yesterday. Very generous with his time. We appreciate that. He's got a crazy summer coming up.
Yes, he does.
Coming up next for us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, the Wendy Zone, including how much money it would cost to get a celebrity maybe to give you a personalized greeting.
Fame.
Randy McMichael records a birthday greeting didn't for
AB,
your child.
Didn't AB do that?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that
Bush,
and more coming up next. How much would it cost for you to do it? We'll find out coming up next in the Wendy Zone. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Fame. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time for the Wendy Zone here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire world. A lot to get to there, including apologies. Apologies in sports.
Apology for apologies.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But before we get there, Wendy Adams in studio, working microphone and everything. How are you, Wendy?
I missed you guys yesterday because you guys were out and about. I was back here at the station, so I missed you guys.
We've been out a lot lately.
Yeah, man.
Friday, Saturday, Monday.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
Has there ever been a celebrity for you guys that you've wanted to meet or talk to or get a Twitter message from?
Yeah.
Who's your top celebrity?
Randy McMichael. And my dream came true.
Stop.
And now every single day of my life. No.
Stop.
I mean, Andre 3000 would probably be the guy that would star strike me the most if I was to run into him in person.
I would have maybe Barack Obama.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Barack. Yeah.
There you go.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Well, there's a website.
I actually bumped into him one time before a long story for another
president
day.
President Obama, you did?
He was not the president at that point.
Oh.
It was before all of that. But
what's the story there?
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. I want to get to this.
It sounds interesting. Okay, so there is a website called Cameo where you can get a brief personalized video message from your favorite celebrity, but it's going to come at a price. So I went to the website and I decided to look up to see what Atlanta athletes could potentially be on there.
All right.
So you have anything from actors, reality TV stars, there's YouTubers on here, musicians, so you can just sort of search your favorite athlete. So I started with the Atlanta Hawks to see who was on their list on this website. So how much do you think it would cost for a personalized message from Kevin Herter?
$50.
$10.
$70 if you want to talk to Kevin.
$70?
All right.
Vince Carter is on the list. How much for a personalized video message from Vince Carter?
$100.
Maybe $150.
$250.
Wow.
For Vince. And then you have Dwayne Dedman.
I mean, free.
$25.
That'd have to be free.
$25.
Right?
He is at $60.
Dwayne Dedman sends you a Venmo for $10
before
if you want him on your voicemail.
Before I get to the ones for the Falcons, the most expensive person on this website is Caitlyn Jenner, $2,500. Brett Favre, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Billy
Caitlyn
Zane.
Caitlyn Jenner's the dad, right?
Bruce,
you got it. Yeah. Okay. Wesley, just because there's a lot of Jenners. I was just making sure.
I wasn't going to test that one. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, okay. That's the dad, right?
But he is the dad.
Yeah, he's a papa.
Yeah,
right.
They just
got it.
Shop in
got
the
it,
same
got
department
it.
Together.
Got it. Snoop just
Dogg,
making sure.
Snoop Dogg, Brett Favre, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Billy Zane, Wesley Snipes are all in that $500 range for a personalized video message. Gary Busey.
Snoop Dogg's in the same category with Wesley Snipes?
Yes, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I love me some Wesley. Wesley, the reason dark-skinned brothers, we made that come up, but I wouldn't put Wesley with Snoop Dogg, would you?
I wouldn't pay $500 for anybody to record a voicemail for me.
No. Gary Busey, Charlie Sheen are $350.
Gary Busey? Are you
yes.
kidding me?
That voice, man.
Yeah.
It's the voice.
Right.
It's the voice.
I should have just made you guess on what they're charging.
All right.
Then you have those in the $100 to $150 range, like Gilbert Godfrey, Neo, Tommy Chung, Joey Fatone from NSYNC.
Joey Fatone?
That's
yeah,
you
ridiculous.
Want a Joey Fatone one. All right, as far
he's
got, as
he's like the fifth best NSYNC member, and there's only five of them.
Let's see who's on the current roster for Falcons.
Justin, Lance, I don't know.
Lance, JC,
JC's
Chris,
third, Chris. Yeah, Joey Fatone's the worst one.
No, Chris was the worst.
Oh, okay.
Joey's like fourth.
All right,
out of five. All right, Kurt Benkert is on this website.
Kurt Benkert,
backup quarterback on the Atlanta Falcons.
He's not even the backup quarterback. He's on the practice team.
Yeah,
$20.
Randy got it right on the money.
$20. Nice work.
$20.
Nice job.
What about wide receiver Justin Hardy?
$10.
Below Kirk Banker?
I'm $30? $35?
You got it right.
$30?
We should have done this as a game.
I forgot he has the best hands on the team, according to Julio.
He attacks the ball.
Yeah, he attacks the ball.
He really attacks the ball.
There's our new
air.
Game. How much do athletes charge to get a personalized video message?
$20.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Randy's better NFL football player than Kirk Benkert.
I'll probably be $20.
Maybe we can get you on the website.
No, thank you.
We can start raising some money for
but
the show. We don't have any endorsements
because
yet.
I'm not getting all the 20, so I need to know how much of that 20 I'm getting.
But you don't set your amount, though.
Huh?
Oh.
It sets your amount for you.
Oh, no, that could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
So
what's the lowest?
$8.
No, there is somebody here. The lowest, let me tell you exactly, I know who this is. So it's a soccer player named Lee Tuck. He charges $7.
Lee Tuck, I never even heard of that guy.
Exactly. This was
I can get more than $7.
You could get more than $7.
Yeah, I get more than $7.
How much do you think you could get from a personalized message?
Probably like $17.
I mean, set the bar high.
Someone gave you a 20, you give them $3.
Yeah, I got to give their change back. Like, you know.
Or you do like $99.99.
Yeah,
that could
be it.
Austin Hooper
Shipley
is
Hanley,
also.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Austin Hooper on the list.
Hoop. I say $45.
Depends on who it is. Certain people he wouldn't do it for.
Yeah, we know who that is. The people that don't know football.
How much is it?
So, Randy, you were close. It's $40 for Austin
40
Hoover.
$40.
Okay.
I guess he was a Pro Bowler last year, alternate, but he made it.
Andy Lavitre was on the list. I know he retired this
$18.
Year. $18.
No. How much?
Higher than Hoop.
What?
Lavitre?
Higher than Hoop.
Damn.
People don't know who he is outside of here.
Or Buffalo. Or
Buffalo
and
Tennessee. Yeah.
And those aren't good memories in Tennessee.
Lavitre, $65.
$65.
And then former Falcons quarterback Michael Vick.
Oh.
He would be a lot.
Mike by $400?
Yeah, I could see him being like $300 or $400, $500?
$700?
Higher.
A grand? Wow.
$1,000 if
well,
you
want
to talk to.
He had all that debt to pay
to
back.
Michael Vick. And then just for fun, I looked to see if any
But he
of
did.
You,
he paid it all back.
He did.
To see if any of the United players were on there. There is one United player, and it's Julian Gressel.
Jules.
I'll pay Mike Bell $5 to do a Julian Gressel impression.
I'll go for Jules, let's say $150.
That's what? High.
Oh, it's too high.
Thanks.
Too high.
$30.
$50.
$50.
It's right in the middle. But it's just a really cool website. I mean, you can go in then and you can type in who you're looking for and see if they're on the list. I looked up and to see if Andre 3000 was on the list, and he is not, Andy. So I apologize.
I'll just have to find him in person.
Yep.
People bump into him all the time. This hasn't been me yet.
Just hasn't been you. That's the thing about it. You're just unlucky with bumping into people.
Yeah, and that's okay with me. I don't need to bump into people all that much. I bumped into Dansby Swanson at a barbershop one time in Portland.
Did you say hey?
I did. It was the day after he got drafted because he was playing minor league baseball there.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was very nice. And then I asked him about it at spring training this year, and he didn't remember, obviously.
Did
was
you really ask him about that?
I mean, come on.
Do you remember
me? You know for a fact that I asked him about it. As hey, remember we talked to each other 7 years ago in a barbershop in Portland?
I wonder what that looked like.
He was like, yeah,
that's like a random
that.
Person coming into a bar during a remote and asking, hey, do you remember me and not telling you where they met?
Does that happen to you sometimes?
It happened a couple,
I'm going to give a shout out for free to my buddy Colin Hill. He DM'd me on Instagram and said, because I give shout outs for follows on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
He DM'd me on Instagram and said, I don't have Twitter because my parents won't let me. But could you give me a shout out from Instagram?
Smart
and I said,
parents.
Yeah, sure, Colin, anything.
That's smart really parents. Cool.
And that's free right there, free of charge.
That is free.
Smart parents.
Yep.
You know what was not free for Cam Newton, who had to sit and coach? He offered somebody $1,500 to switch seats on him. It's a video that went viral over the weekend. So he was on a flight from France back to Charlotte, and apparently now we know the reason why he was sitting in coach. He was sitting in coach because he missed his earlier flight, and if he wanted to get back to Charlotte that day, he was going to have to sit in coach.
Gotta sit there.
Wanted some extra leg room. If I was the person sitting with the extra leg room and Cam Newton was like, $1,500 to move, I'd be like, $2,000 and two drinks. And I'll move.
You would have been negotiating
yeah.
with Cam Newton?
Why not?
I don't know.
I just laughed.
$1,500 I would have said sure.
I just laughed at everybody. Like, they're making a big deal out of it. He probably missed his flight or he booked sure. his white light. It happens
it
all the time.
Thing. That's
but
why.
I'll tell you something right now. If the person turned down $1,500, that means they don't need that $1,500.
That's
if
it.
You fly on first class exactly. back in France, you don't need $1,500. Man, you better go on somewhere.
I would ask for
better
my
go on somewhere and get back there and coach.
$1,500 doesn't mean a lot to them. No. If it would have been me, I wouldn't have been sitting in the spot that he wanted anyway.
Yeah.
I would have taken that money so fast. Really? $1,500?
Or however much your round-trip flight was, that's how much I would have taken.
And then just gave him a quick little jab in the shoulder just to see how his shoulder was feeling.
Then you'd be, then TSA would have came and tossed you off the damn plane.
Well, Cam probably would have manhandled me after that.
At least you would have had money.
Yeah, $1,500 richer.
Yeah, for bail.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world. Thank you, Wendy. That was the Wendy Zone. All the audio you need, all the audio you want, coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.